Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're about to study the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. This is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And so I'd invite you to go get your Bible at this time and turn to the book of Luke chapter 19. Now, while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We are so blessed to have such a beautiful setting for our meeting house. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this Sunday school lesson about Jesus and Zacchaeus, we're going to be looking at notes made by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of February the 18th, 1923. Now, the time of this lesson is when Jesus and his disciples were journeying toward Jerusalem. This was Jesus' death march. Jesus was in the lead, and the disciples were amazed and afraid as they followed him. They knew the Jews had determined to kill Jesus. We read in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16, that a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he abode at that time 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. The disciples say to him, Rabbi, the Jews now seek to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because the light is not in him. These things spake he. And after this he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus is fallen asleep. But I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. The disciples therefore said unto him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he spoke of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus therefore said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. Thomas therefore, who is called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, Let us go also, that we may die with him. Jesus knew that he was marching toward his death as he was on his way to Jerusalem. Twice he retired from Jerusalem to escape the hands of death. In John 10, 39 and 40, it said they sought again to take him. And he went forth out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John was at first baptizing, and there he abode. And then in John 11, 47 through 54, we read that the chief priests therefore and the Pharisees gathered counsel and said, What do we? For this man doeth many signs. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said unto them, You know nothing at all. Nor do ye take account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Now this he said not of himself, But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God that are scattered abroad. So from that day forth they took counsel that they might put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but departed thence into the country near into the wilderness, unto the city called Ephraim. And there he tarried with his disciples. He took again the 12, it says, and showed them once more what he must suffer at Jerusalem, and with clear prophetic vision described the very details of his trial and the manner of his death. When Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, it says Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 apostles apart and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify. And the third day he shall be raised up. We read in the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 32 and down to verse 34. And they were on their way, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them. And they were amazed, and they that followed were afraid. And they took again the 12 and began to tell them the things that were to happen to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and they shall spit upon him, and shall scourge him, and shall kill him. And 3 days later, he shall rise again. But they did not understand these things. We're going to read they didn't understand these things, and also that it was on this journey how that Jesus had opened the eyes of the blind man. It's in Luke chapter 18, 31 through 43. So he took unto him the 12, and he said, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written through the prophets shall be accomplished unto the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered up to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and shamefully treated, and spat upon, and they shall scourge and kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of the things, and the saying was hid from them, and they perceived not the things that were said. And it came to pass, as he drew nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude going by, he inquired what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people saw it. And when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. This is the time when Jesus had that interaction with Zacchaeus the publican. It says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1 that he entered and was passing through Jericho on his journey to Jerusalem. The original publicans were rich Roman knights who brought up the taxes of a certain province by paying so much money in cash into the Roman treasury. Or a joint stock company was formed when these taxes surpassed the ability of one man and the profits were divided among the stockholders. These men themselves did not collect the taxes, but divided up the provinces into districts and sublet these districts to others, usually to the inhabitants of the country who knew the resources of the people and how much tax they could pay. These sub-agents were publicans of the New Testament, Jesus considered their subjugation to the Romans as a degradation, and paying tribute to them as dishonor. The Jews considered their subjugation to the Romans as a degradation, and paying tribute to them as dishonoring to God. Hence the question that was asked to Jesus at one time: is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Matthew 22:17. Therefore, publicans among the Jews were not only odious as tax gatherers, but were also considered as traitors to their nation and as apostates from the religion of their God. They were classed often with sinners, harlots, and heathen. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, 11, it said, "He came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your teacher with publicans and sinners?" In Matthew 11:19, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Jesus said in Matthew 18:17, "Of one that needed discipline, let him be unto thee, as the Gentile and the publican." In Matthew 21:31-32, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed it not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And when ye saw it, ye did not repent yourself afterward, that ye might believe." The Jews were used to hearing of publicans classified with sinners and with harlots and with heathen. Almost everything was taxed, and being allowed to fix more or less arbitrarily by the value of exports and imports and demand payment, publicans had every opportunity to extort from the people more than was their due, and to practice fraud. Hence, John the Baptist exhorted this class, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And Zacchaeus would later say, "If I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore it fourfold," in Luke 19:8. Publicans, though, were not necessarily dishonest. John and Jesus found many ready and willing to obey the truth. In Luke 3:12, we say there came publicans to be baptized of John. And they said, "Teacher, what must we do?" In Luke 7:29-30, all the people heard, and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. It was the Pharisees and lawyers that rejected for themselves the counsel of God by not being baptized of him. In Matthew 21:31-32, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For God, John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And when ye saw it, ye did not repent yourselves afterwards, that ye might believe him." And so there were many publicans that really wanted to do the right thing and responded to the teachings of John and Jesus. Well, it was from this class that Jesus chose an apostle, Levi, Matthew. Well, now we read about Zacchaeus. We know that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham from Matthew 19:9, and he was a chief publican. He was rich. His name means pure, and he had good opportunity to accumulate wealth. But as he states, he did not do so by false accusation or dishonest means. He probably had the supervision of other publicans of his district. The trade of the countries east of Jordan passed through Jericho to Jerusalem, and their custom was paid. Well, next lesson, we're going to contrast Zacchaeus with the rich young ruler. Now you be listening for that school bell. And when you hear it, get your Bible, mark Luke 19, and we'll continue this lesson in the next class.